The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
After 142 years, Ratcliffe-on-Soar was the last coal-powered station to cease operations in the United Kingdom, and that made the UK the first G7 country to go coal-free. And so when we finally say goodbye to coal, what are the alternatives to the so-called green alternatives when the sun don't shine and the wind don't blow? I'm joined now by Aoife Foley, who is Chair of Net Zero Infrastructure in the University of Manchester. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, talk to me about the history of coal in the UK. How long have they been generating electricity using the black stuff?
About 142 years, Pat. The first coal plant in the world was in London. It was an Edison machine. And I suppose, look, the first private or the first public power system or national grid was 100 years old. And again, that was in the UK. So it's a big moment, because if you think about it, of all the big economies in the world, the G7, G9, G18, whatever you want to call them, the UK now is the first to go completely coal-less.
And that is a milestone, because of the fossil fuels, coal is the dirtiest, I suppose.
Coal is the dirtiest. And to put it in context for the public, it's like, do you know when the your insurance for your car changed, that if it was under 150 odd milligrams per of CO2 per kilometre, your car insurance dropped dramatically. So to put it in context now, a coal burning station would be back up in the 300s, depending on what it's doing and how new it is, in the 300 grams of CO2 per kilowatt hour. Okay, so it's much, much higher in terms of its emissions. So it's very dirty, actually. Then we had the dash for gas after that, and we know where that's led us over the last 3, 4, 5 decades. And you can see the political instability around the world, in Russia, in the Ukraine, and now in the Middle East, because there's lots of gas off the coast of Palestine, and they suspect there's lots of gas in France. So there's a lot of things going on, and you know, energy is key to our economies all over the world.
Mm. Now, when they decided they would eliminate coal, I'm sure it was a long process, because there were coal mining communities. It was an important aspect of the economy. And also they had to find replacement strategies for the massive power stations that were run on coal that would be taken out off the grid.
Oh, they did. And in the UK now at the moment, and I suppose it's slightly different in Ireland, in the UK, it's the economies of scale for populations. They're looking at a number of the sites with the new Labour government. And it was the same with the Conservative government, for carbon capture, storage and utilisation, for electrolysers, for different activities, different types of storage activities. So that's what's going on at those plants at the moment. So the zoning on those sites is very valuable, because they're in very important parts of the grid. So what tends to happen is, where you have some of those plants, you can do other activities nearby because of the zoning.
OK, so they're not going to be mothballed or taken apart. They will be used in some aspect of energy generation, carbon capture and so on and so forth.
Well, that's the plan. That's the hope. And there's a lot of research, R&D research, and I'm involved in some of that research actually going on in the UK in terms of carbon capture, storage and utilisation, carbon capture. So there's a huge research centre with Imperial and London and Strathclyde and Heriot Watt University, and Manchester's involved, and Cardiff. So a lot of the universities across the UK. And then hydrogen is the other plan. So that's another research centre that we have going, and that's led by Sarah Walker from Birmingham University. She used to be in Newcastle. She's a great colleague of mine. And again, that's what we're looking at, to see what we can do in terms of making those sites viable for alternative activities.
Now, alternative activities, that's one thing. I mean, by and large, we talk about wind and solar. There is, I think, is there only one wave estuary energy generation in the UK, and the Severn, is that still going?
That's still going. Like, I mean, Pat, I suppose, look, everybody knows my take on floating offshore wind and wave energy. It's the wave of the future, and we've been hearing that for 30, 40 years. And everybody is very au fait with my opinion on nuclear modular. It's a risky business. Any of the companies that have gotten into it, just like Wave Energy, have floundered. And the best word to use really is floundered. And I wouldn't want to be putting our eggs in one basket. And it gets very, very expensive. And I know the Irish government, you know, had massive plans and still do for offshore wind. It'll work in some locations in Ireland because of the seabed conditions and its proximity to shore. And they're the sites that should be prioritised.
So floating wind off the West Coast, the so-called wind Saudi Arabia for us in terms of its equivalence to oil, that is a long way away. And whether or not it's ever viable in economic terms is an open question.
Well, I suppose look, if the EU was interested in Ireland's vast wind resources, they would have done it 3 decades ago. And that was, you can sort of put that, hang that hat on Angela Merkel. And they went for cheap gas. It's very risky. We saw what happened. Interconnectors are great when they're on land, or maybe between, you know, some distances between shore and land.
Looking at our neighbours, be they EU neighbours or the UK, which is no longer in the EU, the UK still has a significant nuclear component. Some of those power stations are elderly and will be replaced, and who knows what will happen to the others. In France, they have a very active nuclear industry. What are we to do when, as I said, the sun don't shine and the wind don't blow?
Well, both the Tory government, Pat, and the Labour government are committed to the new nuclear power station, actually near Manchester, on the west coast of England, the old Hinkley site. Mm-hmm. And that's been developed. And the last time that was developed, actually, it was a Labour government who started it back in the 70s. And it was continued on then by the Tories. The Conservative government, nuclear is back on the table in the UK. But not, you know, nuclear modular was great. But as I said, any of the companies that have R&D in it, nuclear modular is also a security risk in itself. There's an inherent security risk in it because of geopolitical and terrorism. So larger nuclear is back on the table. It's back on the table in a lot of jurisdictions around the world. In terms of Ireland, you know, we'd be well down that queue. That boat has gone really for Ireland. I know that there are some lobby groups and a group that, you know, is always talking about nuclear in Ireland and pushing it. But really, we wouldn't have the skill set. We wouldn't have the experience. Nuclear processing is very expensive. You need to be in a situation where you have the skill set, you have the experience, and we don't have that, unfortunately. It's the same as carbon capture, storage and utilisation. We wouldn't have the emissions, the point emissions at scale. Mm. You're talking about oil and gas industry. You're talking about sectors that produce voluminous amounts of carbon in a very condensed location. Yeah. We don't have that on the island of Ireland.
So the alternatives, I mean, Germany, when Angela Merkel decided in the wake of Fukushima to close down the German nuclear industry, basically, power generation industry, and look what happened. They became utterly dependent on Russian gas. Then the war happened with Ukraine, and we had an energy crisis and soaring prices.
And that energy crisis is set to continue. And those energy prices, as I said already, I know other people said they've come down, and they come down sporadically when storage is filled at certain times of the year when there's no demand, because that's on the spot market. And it might feed through for a short period of time. But if you look at the UK, when the coal plant went off there last week in Ratcliffe on Soar, you know, there was a lot of press flurry about the fact that the price cap in the UK had increased, but the price cap in the UK increase was related to the previous wholesale market prices in the BETA, which is the British Electricity Trading and Tariff Arrangement. It's similar to the SEM, which is the Irish single electricity market on the island of Ireland. That price is set in three quarters throughout the year, or four quarters throughout the year. And those wholesale prices were higher over the summer when there was low wind. And I suppose, Pat, that's what you need to plan for. So you need to plan for not having wind. So solar is complementary to wind. Storage, some elements of storage. But the thing about storage is too much of it can be very, very expensive because it's sitting idle then many times or many periods of the year. So what we need to do is we need to restructure the electricity market. We already see the issue with data centres in Ireland. And a lot of the data centres in Ireland are the old CPUs. They need to be changed. They're going to be changed. And this is the thing. The Irish government now really needs to tackle this urgently. And I'm pleading with them, if they change the data centres now, the newer data centres are going to be GPUs. They're more energy intensive. Ireland is going to lose out. We've already lost out. There's new data centres in the Nordic countries. And they're very happy to get them with all their eco credentials. I'm telling you now, the Nordic countries are very happy to get them. And in the UK where I work, they also have massive plans. And actually what Keir Starmer did was he announced that data centres now are strategically of national interest. So that's what's going on in the UK.
Listening to all of that, we need to generate our power somehow. Offshore floating wind is not on. There obviously is more provision on the seabed for fixed offshore wind. There are a lot of people objecting to, you know, the views that would be spoilt from, say, Killiney Hill of Dublin Bay if you've got massive numbers of windmills out there. Do you think it's all just too important to listen to that kind of concern?
Can I say to the public, OK, and I did planning applications for overhead power lines and substations in Ireland, OK? I was involved in wind farm development and I've even done a pumped hydro station in Mill Street in County Cork. It was refused planning way back in the day. And then we appealed to Butterton Mall Plan All and it was also refused. And what I have to say to people is that energy prices are associated with how cheap you can make energy. We have a huge wind resource. We need to repower onshore. Bord Pleanála, the whole situation with it all going centrally to Dublin needs to be looked at seriously again. Local authorities know the local people on the ground. They can deal with the communities. I really think repowering onshore wind is really, really important. Restructuring the market, how it interacts, the wholesale with the retail, how we do demand response, demand side management, smart loads. So we have the people like Energy Cloud, all of those entities, storage heaters, hot water heating, decentralized loads. The power system really needs to be reinvented. We need to rethink it. And the way it's operating at the moment, Pat, is really, it's blocking development. It's going to make the price of business in Ireland expensive. And you know, moratoriums in certain sectors aren't good for the economy. And I would like, I mean, I did some work when I was working for an engineering consultancy firm years back. And we used to work for IDEA and Enterprise Ireland. They're the sectors that employ Irish people. OK. And, you know, we saw the dividend, what came in with the tax returns annually. If those sectors pull out of the economy, what's going to happen to the Irish economy? And it's great to think that we've a cash cow now at the moment. But industry is fickle. We saw it with Dell years ago in Cork, in Limerick, when they pulled out and they went to Poland. You know, we need to think ahead. It was the same with Ford and Dunlops. If Apple pulled out of Cork tomorrow morning, what would happen to the Irish economy? I think people need to sort of wake up and smell the coffee. And I'm really concerned about it. You know, I have children and we need to think about their futures. And really, visual impact is a very, very small thing.
We'll leave it there. Aoife Foley, who's Chair in Net Zero Infrastructure at the University of Manchester, thank you very much for joining us.
Cheers, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.